This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And all the changes that you put me through, used all my money.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box and the all-new 590 The Fan. We've already talked a little baseball with Mike Claiborne. We'll talk with Dr. Rick in a little bit. But right now, it's our pleasure to be joined by the head coach of St. Louis University, Travis Ford. Coach, good to be with you. How are you?
Doing great, Frank. Thanks for having me.
So, were you in Vegas when the earthquakes were hitting?
You know, I was. I was in the arena, Thomas and Mack Arena, actually watching Javon Best play, and you know, all of a sudden you start feeling. You could feel the bleachers starting to shake and the chair starting to shake. And at first you don't realize what's going on, and then it hits you once you see the scoreboard swing and light swing, exactly what's going on. And it went on for a good 30, 40 seconds. So it was quite an experience.
Wow. Tell me about the Billikens in the summer league. What kind of minutes? We have Javon, and we also have Tremaine Isabel out there, correct?
We do. Javon is with the New Orleans Pelicans. He his first two games, he was the first player off the bench. And, you know, last night he didn't get to play quite as much because they added a few players that they traded for. The Pelicans made a trade a day and a half ago and picked up a few extra players that they played in the summer league last night. But Javon was getting 16 to 20 minutes a game. And then Tremaine was with the Los Angeles Clippers. And he hasn't gotten as much playing time right now. They've got a lot of good young guards, but it's still, you know, I took them out to dinner one night, and as I told them, I said, you got to look at this in a lot of different ways. I said, you know, everybody wants to get drafted, but only 60 players can get drafted. Everybody wants to play in the summer league. Can't everybody play in the summer league? There's only so many players, a lot of really, really good players that don't get picked up for summer league, and those two young men got picked up, so... Yes, you want to play, but they got to use this to parlay this into even something else, whether it be something overseas or the G League or whether they can make an NBA team.
So this doesn't delay the process for Europe. This only enhances their chances?
Only enhances it, Frank. I encourage anybody, I said this, if you like basketball, I encourage you to go to a day or two of this summer league. It is a who's who of everybody. It is all-day basketball. Two gyms going on at the same time, side by side. You can walk back and forth, never go outside, and watch two games, two NBA games. But everybody, there's so many international scouts there. Every owner of NBA teams, the general managers, the head coaches are sitting there watching. They're not coaching their teams, but they're sitting there watching their teams play. And there's all kinds of international scouts. I don't know how many came up to me, and I had some other former players from Oklahoma State that were playing that were asking me about a lot of different players that I've coached or coached against. Everybody's there evaluating players. It's an interesting, you know, it goes on for a little over 2 weeks, but I was there just for 3 days, and it's if you love basketball, it's almost a dream come true.
Zion was the story before he got hurt. If I were to ask you, do you think he'll have a better career 15 years from now than, say, Charles Barkley? Would you say yes or no?
Oh, I don't know. If I had to guess, I wouldn't put anybody ahead of Charles Barkley at this point, so I'd probably have to say no, and hopefully he can possibly prove me wrong. But I'm a big Charles Barkley fan and what he accomplished as a player. You know, Zion right now, I think he came out the other night and was just way out of shape, and which is understandable. He's been doing a lot of appearances. You know, going into summer league, you only practice like two or three times, and then they roll the ball out and you start playing games. But he was way out of shape. I just think, you know, for him, he's going to overpower people. And, you know, he's going to find his niche. I don't think he's an inch over 6'6". I've been, you know, side by side with him, standing beside him. You know, he's not as tall as some people might think, but I still think he's a special talent and just physically is just going to overpower people, even in the NBA.
I don't think I ever asked you this, but after your senior year at Kentucky, where you're the MVP of a regional and you took the team to the Final Four, you got drafted by the Warriors. What happened and your professional career?
Yeah, they didn't have summer league back then. They didn't have summer league. What they had back then, they had rookie camp. And then they had vet camp. Rookie camp led into vet camp, and it usually started end of September, early October. And obviously I went out to Golden State, out to Oakland, and went through rookie camp and then went through vet camp, played in preseason, NBA preseason games, and then got cut after that, and then got into coaching right after that.
So you were with the Warriors with Don Nelson and Chris Mullin, or who was it then?
Oh, yeah. Don Nelson was the head coach. Chris Mullin was on the team. So, you know, Manute Bol ended up joining us. You know, it was we had a pretty solid team. It was a more of a veteran basketball team at that time. Ricky Pierce, you remember Ricky Pierce?
Yeah.
He was in like his 18th, 19th year at that time. But Tim Hardaway was on that team at that time. So, yeah, it was great just to learn under Don Nelson and go through some NBA practices learning under him.
So when did you know, and was it a moment on the court during a game or during a practice where as much success as you had, you said to yourself, you know what, I can't play in this league?
Yeah, it didn't take long to figure out that's a whole nother level, especially once vet camp started. Our first game that we played, in an NBA game was against the Utah Jazz and John Stockton, and I got caught guarding John Stockton, and I knew right away, whoa, this is a whole different deal here. So it didn't take long to realize I needed to up my game a little bit if I wanted to have any chance at all.
You're an NBA coach, and you can have 15 years of Stockton or 15 years of Steve Nash. Who do you take?
Ooh, man, I'm going to probably have to go with Frank, I love them both. Absolutely love them both. I grew up in such a John Stockton fan. Loved him. You know, I'd probably go with him, but Steve Nash was special. Absolutely special in so many ways.
All right, you got a couple of guards that are going to be hopefully very special for you. Yuri Collins, where does he rank in terms of pure point guards you've coached in your 20-plus years, at least bringing in?
Right, yeah, you know, I've been able to work with him just 3 weeks at this point, but obviously had a chance to watch him play a lot. Yuri's very gifted with the ball, sees things before other people see them, has a knack, a great feel for finding open guys, great off the dribble. I mean, hard to contain. He can get in the paint, can create, can change directions very, very quickly. He can get from A to B very, very fast. But, yes, he's just got a great understanding, knowledge of the game, feel for the game. Kind of an old-school point guard with great speed and quickness.
Is he knocking down shots?
I just got out of practice, and he made a bunch of shots today. I wouldn't say that's his strength at this point, but I think he's going to really develop to become a very good shooter. Right now, I'd say he's good. We want to get him to very good to great, but today he made some shots, knocked down some nice threes today to win a couple of games.
All right, most everybody in St. Louis or the basketball community has seen Yuri Collins. Nobody has seen Gibson Jimerson. Rank him as a shooter, the 6'4 guard, 6'5 guard from Mount Verde Academy in Florida.
Great shooter. Right now, you know, we do a lot of drill work. We're doing a lot of, you know, trying to implement our style of play, and we're trying to be very aggressive, up-tempo, fast. We do a lot of quick games, and you want him on your team because he very rarely loses because he doesn't miss many shots. He not only can make shots, but he gets them off very, very quickly. He's Klay Thompson. When you watch him play, you'll see he shoots just like Klay. He gets it off like Klay Thompson, shoots it like Klay Thompson, and he does it at 6'6". Not only is he a shooter, but I would categorize him as a scorer as well because he can put it on the floor. He's got some grit, some toughness to him. He's got a little edge about him, a little bit old school shot faking, shoot off one leg, step back. And can come off screens and shoot as well. Very high. You know, something we haven't had. We need more of him. You know, we need to recruit a few more guys that can shoot like him because in practice we say it every day when it's over, Mike, what a difference it makes when shots go in. And when he makes shots, his teams are tough to beat.
So there's no doubt as we speak here in July, he's going to be in your rotation if he's healthy.
Oh, there's no doubt. No doubt. He brings an asset that you just hard to keep him off the court.
All right, Terrence Hargrove Jr., give me an idea, because you have two freshman bigs who may not be ready to get significant minutes right away. Could you go a little smaller and go Hassan at the five and Hargrove at the four?
Oh, easy. Absolutely easy. We can go, you know, thing I like about TJ Hargrove is he can play multiple positions. He can even slide to a three if we need him to, because he does handle the ball and he's shooting the ball really well. And you can play KC Hankton, who's playing really well right now. You can slide him to a four to play with Hassan at the five. Or we can go bigger with Jimmy Bell at the five and Hassan at the four. So, you know, right now we've got a few different options, but no question TJ Hargrove brings us athleticism. Can shoot the ball, and he plays extremely hard.
Jimmy Bell is the young man from Arizona, 6'11". How much did he weigh coming into St. Louis about 6 weeks ago, and how much does he weigh now, and what are you seeing?
Well, I just got a report on what he weighed this morning. 4 weeks ago, he weighed 318, and today he weighed 290 this morning.
That's good.
Yeah. So yeah. He's doing great. He's doing great.
Well, what do you like about – he has a little bit of skill, correct?
Great hands, great feet, great knack for scoring the ball around the rim, understands how to use his size and his strength, but just great hands, great feet, and a great understanding how to put the ball in the hole. Really been impressed with him, really been impressed. His greatest challenge is not necessarily losing weight, but to get in great shape. They kind of go hand-in-hand a little bit. But once he gets in great shape and can play at the level he can play at, if he can play at it a little bit longer, he's going to be very effective for us.
Is Javonte Perkins practicing with you guys yet?
He is not. He is not. He is still finishing up some classes before he can join us.
All right. Tell me about the guy you got late, Tay Weaver. Are you allowed to comment on him yet, the transfer from EKU?
Yeah, I can't comment on anybody that hasn't enrolled or signed, the papers yet and got, into school yet. So I can't really talk about anybody like that, right?
But if he's in the mix and then Perkins is in the mix, I know we always say in July, boy, you got a lot of players, and then at the end of the season, you're playing five or six. At least on paper, it seems like it's one of your deepest rosters at SLU.
Yeah, this time of year we've been loaded. We've been having great depth in June and July. Problem is, when January, February hit, everybody seems to be injured. So we'll see. But no, we needed to improve our shooting and our scoring, and we've done that hopefully a little bit. We need to continue to do it. We've done it with Gibson Jimerson, with Javonte Perkins, and adding other players to it that can shoot the ball. It really opens things up. And, it brings us a little versatility. You know, right now, yes. I just gave our team a really big talk before practice and after practice about we're going to spend these next 5 weeks, starting today, the next 5 weeks we're concentrating on our style of play, who we are, our culture. These first 3 weeks, we've been going for 3 weeks, have been all about individual work, just getting guys individually ready to play, individual workouts. We did a full team workout today, and we really are trying to play very up-tempo. As I tell them, it's going to be very aggressive, up-tempo, fast on both ends of the court, because we need to use our depth and use our versatility and our athleticism as much as we can. And hopefully that will continue on throughout the season as long as we, hopefully stay healthy and things like that. But, and another, not only depth, but if you look at our team, there's only two or three guys right now. I'd say, all right, those guys have to be on the court. Everybody else, very interchangeable. And so we're going to be playing hopefully 9-10 guys.
All right, you may not answer this, but let's just say you're coaching a shirts and skins game with your roster, and you get first pick, and there's a great steak dinner at Kemal's Chop House at stake for the winner. Which player do you pick first in a shirts and skins game?
Well, you're exactly right. I'm not going to answer. I'm going to be a little more political. But I will say this. You start with, on your team, the guys that, for sure, going to be on the court, Jordan Goodwin, Hassan French, and Fred Thatch. Those are three guys that have really obviously established themselves, playing at a very, very high level, established themselves last year. Those are three guys that are, right now leading, playing at a high level. Those three guys – are going to be, high minute guys. And then I've been impressed with Demarius Jacobs and Casey Hankton, two guys that were injured pretty much 90% of last year. They've, you know, really stepped it up and showed, you know, what they did learn from last year, and they're using that right now. And I've been impressed with those guys. So, but those three, Jordan, Hassan, and Fred Thatcher, three guys that I'd start with.
Rick Majerus used to tell me that the best answer he could hear from a recruit that they were really hard after is yes. And the second best answer they could hear from him is no, meaning they want to know right away. I bring this up because there are a couple of really elite players in the St. Louis area who you're working. Do you agree with that type of philosophy that you're going to keep working until they make their decision, but you'd love to know one way or the other as soon as possible?
Yeah, I would agree with what Coach Majerus had said. You know, we talk about all the time, what guys can you recruit? And sometimes you'd rather, you know, if you're recruiting a guy, you'd rather know you don't have a chance at all and move on. You don't want to spin your wheels or waste time. You know, with that said, there's a lot of great players in St. Louis. You know, we think, you know, this is a special place to play. And some of these guys, you know, a lot of these players getting very, very highly recruited. But, you know, sometimes they want to stay home. Sometimes they want to. We've built something, hopefully, that we're continuing to build, coming off an NCAA tournament, that they say, hey, this is a place I can be seen by anybody in the country. I can make the NBA from here. I can go to NCAA tournaments from here. I play in a great arena, and I'm playing for my city. I'm playing for my university and my city. And right now we're getting a great response. And then there's some that we move on, that we know that you know, they may just be, you know, they may want to go to the biggest name school out there. But you do. You want to know as a recruiter and as a coach, man, if you got a shot, then you're going to work very, very hard at it. But sometimes you'd rather be straight up honest with you and tell you, oh, no, I'm not, you know, I'm looking in a different direction, and that's fine as well.
We got a question here on our text lines about Elliot Wilmer. His career is finished with the Billikens. Is he going to try to play somewhere else, or what's the story?
Yeah, I think he is going to try to play somewhere else. At this point, he's still not released to be able to play yet. I think that comes maybe in August at some point. And, you know, I've had a few schools call me and ask about him. And, you know, we wish him all the best. He was nothing but great while he was here for us, just a great person, and obviously battled a lot of different injuries. But I think he wants to go out and try to play. And, you know, I don't blame him. And I hope it all works out for him.
And what's your road schedule like in Las Vegas? Are you going to be on the road here in July a lot? I know it's a little bit less than it used to be. Tell me about it.
It is. Our whole recruiting schedule has changed. This is the first summer that it's totally different than it's been probably the last 5 or 6 years. We actually went out in June, which in 23 years I've never recruited in the month of June away from campus. And this year they gave us basically 6 days, 2 weekends. To recruit in June, and then the only time we can go out in July is we start on Thursday through Sunday of this coming week, which is Peach Jam and big tournaments in Atlanta and Birmingham, and then the following week, there's 4 sites you can only go to the following week, 4 sites, and that's being ran by USA Basketball, and it's by invitation only. Players have to be invited to these camps in any one of these 4 sites. And we have 6 days to cover these 4 sites, and then recruiting is over as far as being out. It's just a totally different schedule. I don't really like it. I don't think it's good. I would rather, to be honest with you, I don't like the camp atmospheres. I don't think you can really tell if a player can play or not in station work. And then when you put them in a camp team setting, as far as 5-on-5, everybody's trying to get their own. There's no team concept at all. And I think it's hard to evaluate. So we'll see if it changes or not, but that's what they've given us this summer.
I imagine your wife likes this, though. You're home a lot more, correct?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know if she likes that or not, but I am home a little bit more, absolutely.
Good stuff. Coach, we appreciate your time. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Travis Ford joining us. Greenville University is one of our great sponsors. Apply now. Learn about becoming a student at GU. Go to greenville.edu. Visit Greenville University. Take a tour of where you belong. 40-plus majors and programs. Find the program that's right for you. They also have online programs. Experience Greenville where you are. And I got to tell you, if you're going to Greenville, Illinois, make sure you stop by Mario's Pizza, some of the best pizza in that southern Illinois area. We'll take a short time out. Dr. Rick will join us when we come back, and there's some sad news about Stevie Wonder. We'll be right back.